Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, we're just diving in even more on why we need to get our feet out of the standard shoes that we have been told we need to wear to support our feet for life. We need that arch support. We need this certain thing to help our foot operate. Not true. That's why Jen and I always talk about Vivo Barefoot, because they're flat, they are thin, they are wide. They let our feet do what they're built to do. And again, we know everybody is at their own spot on this journey of being able to walk around, run around, jump around in their bare feet. So why not start now? Why not give your feet the stimulus and give your feet the environment they need to be able to build that up so that we can take advantage of the lifelong benefits that being barefoot can bring? We interviewed their owner. We are so tied in to the people of the company, and they are just good people. They care about the environment. They care about where their products come from, the companies they work with. So go check out the link in our bio. They have a 100-day free trial period where you can send them back or get a new pair or get a new size, no questions asked. So check them out.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast.
All right, diving into something that we get requests a lot to talk about, which is foam rolling. Mm-hmm. Everyone always has questions on, like, should I foam roll? Should I not foam roll? I'm foam rolling right now. How do I know if it's doing anything?
Mm-hmm. Such a popular question, and something that has truly changed through the years as we've continued to do more research, continue to understand the body in a deeper way. And I think it is just such a great topic to provide education around, right? Because we're not just going to say there's one way for everything. There's one way for, you know, to get rid of pain or to feel something different. There's multiple ways. So having the education on how this actually works and why you might want to implement it or why you might not, you know, I think it's important to understand.
Yeah. And one thing that I want to dive into right away is, you know, foam rolling and foam rollers, they just kind of land under this umbrella that is these tools that we use on our bodies and we use for self-massage or self-myofascial release. And, you know, myofascial release is a good term and it can be deceiving. Something that I didn't even say this term as we were discussing beforehand, but I think that a good term to use would be like neuronal stimulation or tools that work with neuronal stimulation or something like that, sensory stimulation, because that's really essentially what it doing. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think the term myofascial release is quite old. It's still used in a lot of ways.
Just because it's so well known and like it's hard to just abandon that.
Exactly. And it's not bad. We don't want to shame you if you're still using it, you know, as that term, you know, whatever you're feeling. We just need to understand that that's not the mechanism that's necessarily working, or at this point to what we know. Can this all change if we suddenly discover something new? Yes.
Well, it's more so how we define release. And it's like when we say release, people think it's just like, oh, release, and it's like apart.
It's breaking it up.
Breaking
it's
up.
Moving it. It's melting the fascia, you know, and all these different terms that kind of get thrown around in myofascial release. And I think a lot of the claims in a lot of the old books are claims based on what you almost subjectively see from the client, right?
Yeah.
Or now I've done this myofascial release on you and you're able to gain more range of motion.
Yeah.
And so we do think, or what has been thought of, like breaking up these adhesions, removing the scar tissue, all of these, you know, really profound manual things that cause the body change when that's really not technically what's happening.
Yeah, like we kind of think of it from the outside, like, hey, we're using this tool to do that to it, when in reality, like I said, it's this neuronal stimulation and it's our body's mechanism that is allowing that tissue to relax, essentially. Exactly. And that tissue to, and that's where the release happens. You know, our nerves just start putting less input into that area and we get relaxation and we get some fairly profound changes in our mobility at certain joints, in our pain levels. So I think that's more so what people are meaning when they say release, not like a mechanical disruption or tearing apart of adhesions.
Exactly. And if you want to understand more about fascia in general, the queen herself was on our podcast. I think it was episode 22.
That sounds right. Somewhere around there.
I believe. If you look in the early 20s, she's right there, Jill Miller. And yeah. She truly does the research on a continued basis. Like, she's my go-to resource on anything fascia related. So if you, and she even herself says, you know, myofascial release is an outdated term and it's just not really the reality of what's happening. So we're not just throwing this out there. But if you want to understand more about what fascia is, we did talk to her a lot more about it in that episode.
Totally. And the thing that I love about her the most is that she's continuing to do the research. She's doing the research on her own tools that she has, on other people's tools, on the hardness and the softness of the tools. And she's continually kind of reshaping exactly her and all of our understanding of what's actually happening in the body. And exactly. She's just so curious as to how we can harness this tool to utilize it for athletic performance or learning how to walk better.
Yeah. Learning how to just change the way that we feel within our body, move in our body. And I think that's what's incredible. So now let's bring it back to foam rolling, right? What does it do? And I think we already threw out the common myths and we know that those aren't really happening. Breaking up adhesions, scar tissue.
We need to smash it out. We need to feel the pain. I think that's one that everyone's like, oh, let's use these really hard balls, lacrosse balls, golf balls. I've seen people like standing on golf balls, and we don't want our body to guard against the stimulus. It has to be something our body's ready to accept and work with. If you feel like you're fighting against your foam roller, you might want to search for something a little harder or find a little less intense technique to use.
Softer, you mean? Search for something softer.
Search for something softer.
Don't search for something harder.
If you feel like you're fighting against it, get something harder.
maybe not the right direction. But that's the idea, was especially if you thought that it was breaking something up, then I would need something hard in order to do that, right? And we now know we're not manipulating the fascia or changing it. Like, we would need to steamroll our bodies or go into surgery and cut.
Yeah.
If we're really going to do that level of what people perceived. Like, yes, there's changes that are happening. It's just not... it's not the breaking up and release that we once upon a time thought it was. And so that's why harder is not better. And I think Shantae says this a lot. Harder is not better. Better is better.
Harder is not better. Better is better. Shout out Shantae, Movement Maestro. She always has the best one-liners.
She does. She does.
Freaking hilarious.
But it's true.
Yeah. No, you know? Doing something better, doing something more thoughtfully is really what we're looking for. And what these foam rollers are doing from the outside is they're actually communicating with our mechanoreceptors. We have these things in our body, these nerve endings that start to sense that pressure, that start to sense a lot of things, vibration, pressure, shear
touch,
forces.
Heat.
Yeah. And so when we start communicating with those mechanoreceptors, they shoot some messages up to the brain and say, hey, let's give the body a little more slack here. Let's give the body a little more attention here.
Mm-hmm. And when we're saying about these mechanoreceptors and everything, it doesn't just happen from laying on a foam roller or laying on tools. You know, you move, and we're going to communicate with our mechanoreceptors in different ways. You stretch, and you're going to create this same kind of effect as well. And that's why this is one of the things that we are now perceiving. Again, it's still under research. It's still like really, we're really just still trying to figure it out, right? However, we do know that, yes, there's mechanoreceptors. They're going to be affected by touch, pressure, stimulation.
Yeah.
So if we touch an area, we're going to cause some different responses from the brain.
I like to always fall back on just like my basic physiologic understanding and understanding basic physiology, because that stuff's hard to ignore. I mean, like, when we know certain things will touch or activate certain receptors in our body, it's tough for the body to be like, nope, I'm not going to have that physiologic response, because a lot of it is just a response to the external stimuli. Like, pain.
Yeah.
Right? We talk about pain and why foam rolling might be so effective against pain right away. And, you know, the thought being is we're really gating the pain. We talk about this a lot, that when we, you know, when you stub your toe, you might rub your rub your shin quick because that rubbing is perceived by certain nerves, these mechanoreceptors that shoot up to the brain, and they start to inhibit that pain. So we get this diffuse, noxious, inhibitory control that we can kind of use with the foam roller, that we can access with the foam roller. So there's an area in our brain called the para-aqueductal gray. You know, the only thing you need to know about that area is that it basically releases our body's own endorphins, like our body's own morphine that we make inside our brain.
Our medicine cabinet's
unlocked, and it shoots that down to the entire body to say, like, hey, let's relax the pain response a little bit. And that's why sometimes if you're foam rolling your calf and the pain was in your calf, but also have some pain in your shoulder, it might also help that pain in your shoulder.
Exactly. I mean, this really works. I mean, especially you dive into an ice bath or you take an ice shower and you might notice some other area of your body also not feeling pain as much. We're changing the stimulus. We're changing the response to things. And then your body's saying, oh, we need to drop in some drugs and, you know, change what's happening here. And that response is heightened and even more effective when we believe the expectation of the effect that's supposed to happen. So if I believe more that laying on this foam roller is going to help to release my pain, that is another way that you're going to get that diffuse noxious inhibitory control to get that response to actually happen within the body to drop in the drugs and feel something different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, along with this, one thing that we will talk about a lot is things get angry when they don't have space, right?
Yeah.
And our fascia, you know, we bring up fascia a lot, holds most of the fluid in our body.
90%.
Right? It's just kind of holding about 90% of this free fluid in our body. But say we sit for 4 hours a day for a few, you know, consistently, or we longer, you know, people who sit in stationary jobs, we talk about a lot, like that's the message you're typing into your fascia for that entire day. And so then we get surprised months down the road when we feel like we have all these adhesions and knots, and we probably do because we haven't been giving our fascia enough stimulus with a foam roller or just with movement to promote more fluid transfer, to promote more fluid movement.
Yeah.
And so when we use these tools, these foam rollers, it's going to help synovial fluid and different lubricants like hyaluronic acid to come to those areas and promote more gliding of those fascial layers along each other, especially when we do those practices somewhat consistently throughout the day and throughout life.
Exactly. And we have found studies. We don't always know the effect and the why below it, right? We're still dissecting that, I think. But we do know that it's had positive effects, and that has been studied. You know, it can positively improve range of motion, temporary for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It can positively reduce your guarding and your tension within the body. That's all positive response, improve fluid movement, like get you decreased pain in an area for a certain period of time. And we do have studies on all of that. We don't necessarily always know the mechanism, but we do know that it improves.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes we're searching for like this really specific mechanism or this one protein or this one hormone or something. And I kind of go back to just like basic physiology. Basic physiology makes it make sense to me. Like that when we do these things, our body wants to release certain things in response, release certain hyaluronic acid, synovial fluid. Like to me, those are the mechanisms that cause that increased glide, that cause the increased range of motion. And one thing that I read this specifically on Jill Miller's website with Tune Up Fitness. Yeah, and we'll link some of her articles that we read before this, but they had a significant increase in range of motion when they did rolling with her ball specifically. But again, science will loosely transfer, not exactly, but they got improved range of motion, and also improved force production.
That's huge.
Which is really big and has a lot of application because when we just stretch, mm-hmm. we will get range of motion improvements before exercise, but we will actually decrease or potentially decrease our force production. Mm-hmm. So instead, if we're using this foam roller or this ball, which I think happens through proprioception, I think that's one of the reasons, because it makes us become more aware of that area. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just make it relax. It also gives you more vigilance as to what that area
you're
is doing.
You're putting touch into it. You're putting stimulation. So of course, you're bringing awareness to that area.
Totally. And that's what helps us be able to increase the force throughout that range. And why is that important?
Exactly. Well, you know, increasing proprioception to an area is just going to help to have more awareness of where mm-hmm. it is in space. And so if you're having trouble accessing your glutes, if you're having trouble, or maybe you feel they're tight, your hips are restricted, well, now I'm going to put, you know, foam roller or a little tune-up fitness ball, because those are the ones we like, not lacrosse balls.
Absolutely.
If we're going to maybe roll in the area for a little bit and then go do squats and then go do patterning, it can increase your force production, increase your range of motion, and make you more aware of those glutes. So all of a sudden you get more glute activation. I mean, it's like all around, that could be a better way to then approach maybe how you use it before a workout, because there's multiple ways that you can use these tools. And I think the one question that gets asked a lot too is, well, when should I foam roll? Should I foam roll only before a workout, only after a workout? Do I do it not in relation to it? You know, there's so many, like, people are searching for the definitive answer for everything.
So I think I got an answer for this. You're going to want to foam roll 5 minutes immediately right when you get up and only 3 minutes before the workout. Otherwise, it's
don't
not going
to him, okay?
help you at all.
Don't plug your ears.
No, as we say to almost everything, there's not going to be one specific way that is the best way for everyone to foam roll. Mm-mm. And doing it a little bit before a workout. Yeah, if I want to improve my range of motion and maybe have some more awareness of a certain area in my body. For me, I'm going to foam roll right side upper thoracic. I'm going to foam roll my low back a little bit, maybe my hips, because I know those are the areas that I tend to hold a lot more of my tension. Mm-hmm. And I might want to loosen those things up. We know that when we have increased proprioception or increased awareness in an area, that directly negatively correlates to pain. So if we have increased proprioception, our pain in that area will decrease.
Mm-hmm. And you can look at a cool little photo or image if you type in homunculus.
Oh, yeah.
Sensory homunculus in particular, and kind of see what it looks like. And we'll pull this up on YouTube as well, because it's real fancy and kind of crazy looking. But it just helps to understand where the body perceives most of the stimulation and sensation, like where it is. And what you'll notice as well is that the body, the pillar, your core, is actually really tiny compared to your hands, your nose, your feet, you know, all these other areas. So you don't have as much sensory awareness in those other areas. And the trunk, like if someone lightly touches your side, you might not even feel it or know exactly where they're touching.
Yeah, that's a fun place to do something called two-point discrimination, where like on your hand, if you have like two pencil points or something and you put it on your hand, you can get those things really close and still sense that there's 2 points. If you start doing it, if you have someone do it on your back, and you can have a thing that's like 5 inches away, and you start to say, oh yeah, now it's just one.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just like, what?
There's 2 points there.
The homunculus, that's a funny looking thing.
It is a funny looking thing. We should have it in our homes. Maybe not a little inappropriate.
It might cause more nightmares than anything.
So I think in relation to like when to do it, how often to do it, all these other things, right? We kind of touch on this. You could do it a little bit before you work out, for sure. But if you're doing it for the purpose of really relaxing and opening up range of motion, that would be better to do after a workout. So if you really want to start to use the breathing techniques that we talk about, create this really relaxed system, down regulate after a workout, that is one of my favorite times to do foam rolling. Or if I'm just having a recovery day, if I just doing a little walk and doing a little mobility, like getting in a little foam roll session feels great on those days.
I mean, if I had to say my personal, like, four times that come into mind right away, that come into my mind right away, it would be when I wake up in the morning, before I'm going to do some more intense movement, or before I'm going to do some movement that really requires, so before exercising, something that really requires my attention and my awareness, right after that session, and before I go to bed. And when you're doing it, you direct the techniques that you're going to use based on what you're trying to achieve. Before I go to bed, I'm trying to relax. I'm going to be doing foam rolling to my upper back and neck, my places that I have a little more pain, to just kind of relax, down regulate, get my body prepared for sleep versus when
deep
I'm
breathing.
Right. Versus when I'm waking up in the morning, I know my ankles and my knees and my hips are, they still have a day of work ahead of them.
Yeah.
And I might focus a lot more on my calves so that my ankles can open up a little bit, my hips so that I don't get my pinching in the front of my hips, you know, before I do my morning squats.
And why do you think that would change the pinching in your hips?
You know, if I can explain this in short, so I played a lot of football in college. I tend to be more crouched forward, more flexed at the hips. And for me, I probably carry a little bit more tension in the anterior part of my hips, right?
The front of your hips.
The front part of my hips. And so if I am going to be doing foam rolling, I'm going to be laying on the foam roller on the front, working all the way around to the back. And again, it'll improve that proprioception. Mm. It'll improve the glide in all those muscles. And so once I've accessed this, we haven't really mentioned this, but once you access that range and once you access that increased force production that these types of techniques will give you, it's important to use it.
Yes.
And then it's important to train your body to be able to access that when it wants.
Yeah.
Not just when you foam roll, right?
Right.
So what I do when I foam roll is have my movement in mind that I'm going to train once I use the tool to be able to achieve more range of motion and force production in my body.
Yeah. I mean, same. So if I want to relax my quads, sometimes I do like to do a little foam rolling session. And again, this isn't like you're just rolling through as quickly as possible. That's kind of crazy, right? We are still looking for that comfortable pain. That's really how we're going to start to stimulate that noxious stimuli,
I think,
right?
Jill says a 5 out of 10.
Yeah. And so that's really going to, that DNIC that we mentioned before, right? And if we want to get those, that to really be inhibited and start to work, then we have to find some kind of pain that's not so much it's going to guard us and create so much pain, but also enough stimulus that it's going to like wake up the system to say, oh, this is painful enough for me to pay attention to and drop in my own self-regulating drugs in my own system. Right. And so if you do that, maybe you hold, you find some different areas, you kind of do some breathing with it, you kind of find, you know, how it can kind of relax. And then I do a quad stretch directly after that. So maybe it is still on my mobility days when I'm not doing a lot of movement, but I'm still going to say, okay, how can I use this to find a better range of motion that's actually going to carry over, that's actually going to create like more stretch, more range of motion, you know? And so that's how I'll use it with like down regulation after a workout or on a recovery day. But like you said, you know, directly before workout as well, just trying to kind of wake up those areas and then do some squats, do some movement, do some ways that you know you're typically restricted. Maybe that's even sitting crisscross on the floor for a second and then getting back up and doing that a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a workout.
I feel like you see, it's like the common thing you see at the gym is basically like either somebody laying over a foam roller, like just on the ground after their workout thinking it's going to help them out, or they look like a fish just like flopping around and rolling over certain like muscles really fast and
really
then like
fast,
getting out of there after like 2 minutes of foam rolling their entire body.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, great intense. And I can see why you think that might be a good thing to throw in at the end. But, you know, 5 minutes of just directed foam rolling in one or two areas will be so much more beneficial. Again, because we get some of these systemic responses along with the local responses that you get physiologically. So, I mean, that's where I would just tell everybody, again, regardless of the specific technique or specific area, just do it with really good intention and awareness. I mean, you can be chatting with a friend and stuff, but don't be chatting with a friend, you know, just seesawing back and forth over your foam roller.
Yeah, very true. And with that as well, I think we want to go back and just mentioning, like, if it's hurting so bad, like, back off.
Lighten up.
You really don't. It's not necessary.
Not an 11 out of 10, 5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's really, really not necessary. And if you start to notice, oh, well, I'm doing it more, so it hurts less, that's not a reason to increase the hardness at all. Yeah. Again, we're not breaking up tissue. We're not changing it. So in that regard, right? So it doesn't necessarily mean harder is better. And that's why we like tools like Jill's tools for tune-up fitness.
Which aren't foam rollers, of course, but they're just very well designed to interact with your skin as far as the texture and how they stick to your skin and the softness as far as how your brain accepts the input.
Yeah, and they have give to them a little bit, which is why I so love it more than a lacrosse ball, because when you go on it, it has a little bit of give, so it works with your body rather than against your body, and that actually helps to increase the surface area that it's actually going to be under as well. So overall, great. I use the therapy balls more. You might use the alpha balls?
Both of them. I mean, it depends on the area. Therapy balls are really good for like my back and stuff when I can lay right on them, but my hips, I'll use their alpha balls more.
Yeah.
The gorgeous ball. Love the gorgeous ball.
The greatest for breathing. Again, you can.
Everywhere. I love using that on my thoracic spine and ribs and chest too, neck, everything.
But now we were talking about foam rolling, so we should probably say the foam roller that we, of course, recommend the most, which is the IntelliRoll. I've been using it personally for, I think it's been four years now. That's a long time. And it's the one that I consistently come back to, not only because of the smart design, the way that it's designed to mold with your body, but the intent behind how it was built. And I don't necessarily always like the firm. And a lot of people ask, like, which one should I get, the firm or the flex? If you're going to start out, get the flex. Get the blue one. It's pretty. And it's a little softer. Mm-hmm. So when we're starting to introduce, okay, now I have the correct intention as to what I'm foam rolling for. Now I can use it to really start to improve these ranges of motion or proprioception or whatever I'm doing.
Yeah. And like you said, the intelligent design of this foam roller, the IntelliRoll, is so vital because it allows a place for your spine, it allows a place for all the contours of the different joints of the body, and you can just get into areas, get more surface contacts where even if you are using the firm, I like the firm. I don't mind, you know, how hard it is. It's not like a spiky foam roller that just like is way too aggressive. Again,
way too aggressive.
You just threw spikes on a foam roller just to like put more pressure, and that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for it to work with the body, and the IntelliRoll really does that because it helps that contour. It helps to spread the pressure out, hit more of those mechanoreceptors.
Feels absolutely amazing on the spine. Anyone who lays on it, like, the first response is just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, it is unparalleled to any other thing when you lay on it specifically for the spine. But like you said, the way that it's built around the edges for the pecs, for the QL and into that low back, because most foam rollers, you can't really roll your low back at all. But this one, you really can. I mean, just it's phenomenal. Like, I wouldn't be using it for this long. Yes, I've been quote unquote affiliated, but really, guys, like, it's beyond, way beyond that.
We get affiliated with companies because we believe in them and use them. And
exactly.
That's why when people ask what we recommend, it's what we use. And
so with clients, with ourselves, with everything. Gosh. Like, it's not like I'm making a ton from this company at all. Like, I can promise you that. It's that I truly believe in it. I love the owners. I love the people behind it. I love their mindset. And I use it. I use it myself. I use it with my clients. So if you are looking for a great foam roller that's truly effective, that's going to move with you and work with you, you can get the IntelliRoll. We'll link it in the show notes.
Same with the TuneUp Fitness and all their goodies.
Same with TuneUp Fitness. And you can use code DOCJEN, and that gets you 10% off the IntelliRoll as well. This wasn't supposed to be an ad at all. However, I'm just telling you, if you want to go get it and get 10% off, use code DOCJEN at checkout.
Absolutely. And just know, next time you're using tools and next time you're doing this, do it with a little bit more intention. Do it with a little bit more focus on the areas that your body might need, depending on what your goals are for that day, for that workout. And you're going to see such better results.
Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at DocGenFit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.